John chapter 4, and we'll begin reading in verse number 3. John chapter 4, and verse number 3. It says, "And he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." I'd like to read those words of Christ one more time at the beginning of verse number 10. If thou knewest the gift of God, thou wouldest asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Let's pray together. Father, I pray that you'd bless the preaching of your word this morning. This morning, as we consider the gift of God, and as we ask the question, have you ever received the gift of God? I pray that those who are listening, either here in church this morning or on the internet later, I pray, Lord, if there's some that have never received the gift of God, that today they would accept the most wonderful gift the world has ever known. Father, please bless the preaching and teaching of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Christmas is a time of gift giving. You'll notice on the tables in the banquet room this afternoon, there's lots of presents wrapped. Now, don't get your hopes up. They are just decorations, okay? They're boxes with bows, with gold paper, but there's nothing inside of them. But hopefully at Christmas, you will purchase some gifts or make some gifts or design some gifts, and you'll wrap them and you'll give them to other people. Christmas is a time of gift giving. Most of us will give and receive gifts during this season. May I caution you? Give within your budget. Give within your budget. Don't give now. And someone said, let's make the Christmas season really last. Let's charge it all, you know, and then you can pay all the way until May or June or July. No, let's give our gifts according to what God has given us. So we're going to give and we're going to receive gifts during this season. But have you received the greatest of all gifts, the gift of God? I received the gift of God when I was a 12-year-old boy in London, Ontario. I received the gift of God. It is the greatest gift I have ever received. Receiving this gift changed my life. And if you have never received the gift of God, you could receive this most wonderful gift today. Jesus said to the woman at the well, if thou knewest the gift of God, thou wouldest asked of him and he would have given thee living water. You see, the gift of God will satisfy your heart. You know, we're going to eat a beautiful meal in a little while, and it will satisfy our stomachs, and it may even put a smile on our face. But it will not long-term satisfy our heart. Its effect will wear off. You know, sometimes on a hot summer day, there's nothing better than a glass of cool, clear water. It satisfies the thirst. But it won't satisfy the heart forever. There are a lot of things that satisfy, but there's only one gift that satisfies the heart, and that is the gift of God. You see, it says here in John 4 and verse 14, "But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." The gift of God, it just continually satisfies. You see, this woman at the well was empty in her heart. She was empty in her heart. She had been looking for love in all the wrong places. Five husbands had failed to satisfy her. And her current man was leaving her feeling empty as well. If you are seeking satisfaction in people, people will never truly satisfy. If you are seeking satisfaction in wealth, well, I'm sure it is nice to have, but it'll never completely satisfy. If you are seeking satisfaction in education, I believe the Bible says in Ecclesiastes, much study is weariness. Much study is weariness. It will not truly satisfy. Are you seeking satisfaction in success? Success is just a moment of glory and then it fades away. In a few months we'll witness the Olympics in our own city. And there will be those that will stand on the top pedestal receiving the gold medal. But most of those athletes we will not remember 2 months, 3 months, 4 months after the Olympics. If you are seeking satisfaction in fame, there are those that have been famous, but we no longer remember them. You see, these things will never truly satisfy. Only the gift of God will truly satisfy. The gift of God will satisfy your heart. Secondly, the gift of God will satisfy the holiness of God. The gift of God will satisfy the holiness of God. What are you talking about, you may ask? Well, you see, the Bible teaches that our God is a God of love. But it also teaches that our God is a holy God, a righteous God. A God that must punish sin. You see, God's holiness demands that sin must be punished. And the Bible emphatically says that everyone is a sinner. Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death." Death is the penalty that we deserve to pay because of our sin. The Bible speaks of a second death in Revelation 21 and verse 8. This second death is called the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. That verse lists the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. You see, God's holiness demands a penalty for sin must be paid. But the gift of God, the Bible says in Romans 6:23, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What is the gift of God? Eternal life. But who paid for this gift? It is Jesus Christ that paid for this gift. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. How do we know that God loves us? Because He left heaven, beautiful, glorious, perfect heaven, and came to dwell among men, not so that He could be famous, but so that He could serve, and so that He could die as a sacrifice for our sins. You see, since Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, all of us have descended from them. They are our great-great-grandfathers. Whether you are from Africa or Asia or North America, we can all trace our lineage back to Adam and Eve. And we've all inherited that sin nature from them. So all of the human race is blighted by this sin. But when Jesus was born in this manger, and He grew up in a family, and He was a carpenter for years, all of those years, Jesus never sinned. The Bible says that the apostles beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The disciples lived with Jesus for 3 years. 3.5 years. That's a long time to rub shoulders with someone day and night. I find the closer you get to people, the more of their faults and failures you see. And as the disciples of Jesus walked close to Him, what did they behold? What did they see? They saw the glory of God. They saw perfection. They saw sinlessness. You know, Jesus knew how He was kind. But He also knew how to be angry. But His anger was never out of control. He knew how to encourage people, but He also knew how to correct people. And He did it all perfectly. The Bible says there was no guile found in His mouth. Now, what's guile? Well, guile is dishonesty. He was never caught in a lie because He never lied. Jesus was sinless. He was perfect. And because He died on the cross, He paid the penalty that we deserve to pay. And His sacrifice was acceptable to God. You see, the gift of God, Jesus Christ dying on the cross for sinners, satisfies the holiness of God. In the book of 1 John, there's a verse that says, "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Now, what does the word propitiation mean? It simply means that Christ's sacrifice satisfies the holiness of God. No one in this room is sinless. So no one in this room could pay the penalty of sin. Only Jesus Christ was qualified to pay the penalty of sin. You see, there's two options: to receive the gift of God and have your sins paid for by Christ, or the other option is pay for your own sins for eternity, separated from God in a place called hell. Often, religious people think that their good works will satisfy the righteousness of God. But the Bible clearly says in Ephesians, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." You see, God's way of salvation is a graceful way. God giving to us what we don't deserve. What do we deserve? We deserve the penalty for our sin. But God wants to give us heaven. God wants to give us forgiveness. God wants to give us His righteousness. It's all a gift. The gift was paid for by Jesus. If you've got to pay for the gift, or if going to heaven is based on your performance, we have a Santa Claus God. But we don't have a Santa Claus God. You know, Santa Claus, the song says, "You better be good. You better not pout. You better not cry, because Santa Claus is coming to town." And that's the only way to earn favor in the eyes of Santa Claus, is to be good. The only way to earn favor in the eyes of God is through the gift of God. God wants to give you everlasting life. Not because you deserve it. The Bible says that Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. We don't have trouble seeing the faults and the failures of others. But allow God to turn His microscope or His magnifying glass onto our hearts. Oh, it's easy to sit in front of the TV and say, oh, how terrible Tiger Woods is. But what about your heart? What about your sin? What about those things that no one else knows about? But you see, God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for your sin, so that He could pay your penalty, and so that He could give you eternal life. The Bible clearly tells us in 2 Peter 3 and 9, verse 9, that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Anybody that will repent of their sins, will turn from their sins, and trust Jesus Christ as their only payment for their sins, the Bible says God will give to them eternal life. This morning I want you to realize the gift of God will satisfy your heart. The gift of God will satisfy the holiness of God. If you accept the gift of God, God will accept you into heaven one day. Because that's why Jesus died on the cross, to pay the penalty of your sin. And then thirdly this morning, the gift of God can free you from sin's power. The gift of God can free you from sin's power. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The Bible says in Romans 6, verse 17, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became servants of righteousness. The gift of God will not only satisfy your heart, it will not only satisfy the holiness of God, it will free you from sin's power. I guess I'm a sports fan, because this whole Tiger Woods thing has disturbed me. It's bothered me. I can't say that I've been overly impressed with his attitude. Like, I'm impressed with Wayne Gretzky's attitude as an athlete, because he's always humble. He's always pointing to other people for his success. I like that about Wayne Gretzky. I can't say that about Tiger Woods, but I am impressed with how good he plays golf. Like, you know, especially when I play golf like this. You know, what's that? Well, you're supposed to go that way, and I go this way. And golf is just a good way to ruin a peaceful walk. You know, it brings stress and frustration into enjoying nature. But I'm impressed with his golf abilities. But it's become evident that over the last few months, he has become a slave, or years, he's become a slave to his sexual passions, and as a result has been caught in multiple affairs. I'm sure he'll golf again, and I'm sure he'll break all the records, but he's dropped out of golf because he's got to fix his family. And as I look at that situation, it's only Jesus Christ that has the power to break the power of sin. And if we would all be completely honest, sin is not just Tiger's problem. It is everyone's problem. You know, Jesus said in Mark 7 and verse 20, and He said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within and defile the man. We all have the same heart. The Bible says in the book of Jeremiah 17 that the heart is desperately wicked and no man can know it. You know, his problems, were they not the same problem that King David had? His problems, are they not the same problems that Solomon had? You see, sometimes you can thank God for being poor or just having enough money to get by. Because when wealth increases, it gives you the opportunity to hide things and to do things that the normal person couldn't normally do. Where would our lusts or where would our evil take us if we were not restrained? If money was not an object? Where would we go? Without Jesus Christ and without His power, without the gift of God, we could all be walking down the same pathway. All of us. Every single one of us. But I'm thankful that through Jesus Christ, He can free us from sin's bondage. We don't have to be in bondage to pornography. We don't have to be in bondage to anger. We don't have to be in bondage to selfishness. We don't have to be in bondage to worry. We don't have to be in bondage to pride. We don't have to be in bondage to addictions or alcohol or tobacco or pot. We don't have to be in addiction to any of those things. Because through Jesus Christ, we can have power over sin. There is freedom in Jesus Christ. If you try to find freedom anywhere else, guess what? It may be short-lived. It may last for a while. But in Christ, there can be lasting freedom. He can break the power of sin. And you know, the whole focus of Scripture is Jesus solves sin's problem. If He didn't die on the cross, and if He didn't rise from the dead, there would be no answer to your sin problem. And there would be no answer to my sin problem. There would be no way to better ourselves. But in Jesus Christ, we can repent of our sin. We can confess our sin as what it is. We can find forgiveness and cleansing in His blood. And we can be reborn. And we can be made anew. Through Him, through Jesus Christ, and through His Holy Spirit. You see, the gift of God, it will satisfy your heart. The gift of God will satisfy the holiness of God. The gift of God can free you from sin's power. The gift of God has been freeing sinners for years. For years. The gift of God, number four, will secure you a home in heaven. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What is eternal? Forever. How long is forever? Forever. Do you know for sure that when you die, you'll go to heaven? Do you have that assurance in your heart? The gift of God is eternal life. Forever life. You don't have to worry about where you're going to go when you die. The Bible says you can have peace. You can have knowledge that when you die, you'll go to heaven. The Bible tells us in John 14, Jesus said to His disciples, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Let not your heart be troubled. You can have peace in your heart today through the gift of God. That when you take your last breath, when your heart beats its last beat, that you will enter the presence of God for eternity. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. The gift of God will secure you a home in heaven. The gift of God is like, in many ways, like any other gift. It must be received. This morning, are you sure that you have the gift of God? Are you sure you have the gift of God? I can tell you for sure that Jesus has given you the gift of God. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I can guarantee you today that God has given everyone in this room and everyone in the world the gift of God. He's given it to everyone. But do you have the gift of God? It is possible to think that you have something that you don't really have. It's kind of a funny story to illustrate this. The other day, on Friday afternoon, I went to see the doctor so he could give me a sore shoulder. I went and got my H1N1, shot in my arm. Still hurts. No slapping me in the shoulder, Brother Joshua, okay? It still hurts. So, it was the end of the day at the doctor's office. We got our shot, and he said, you got to wait in the waiting room. Make sure you can still breathe and all of those things. Isn't that comforting? But anyways, he was going to a staff dinner party that night at a beautiful restaurant at Queen Elizabeth Garden. I said, why don't I just go with you to dinner? That way, if I have any complications, I'll be there and you can take care of me. But he wasn't too excited about that idea. So I waited in the waiting room for a few minutes. And then he came out with one of those kind of troubled doctor faces. And he said, I got to talk to you. Okay. And I said, so we went back to his office. And back in September of 08, so over a year ago, I was having a little bit of a pain in my abdomen area, and I went to get an ultrasound done to find out what was causing this pain. Well, by the time the ultrasound was booked, the pain had left. So I didn't have any pain, but I'm still going to have this ultrasound. So I have the ultrasound, and apparently they called me for a follow-up visit, left a message, I didn't get it or something, but there was no pain. The guy at the ultrasound, he wasn't too concerned about the pain, and I didn't have any more pain, so I forgot all about that visit. But he goes, I was putting in here about your shot, and I was just looking up the page at your ultrasound results last year, and I've got to tell you something. Now, I thought I had something all of my life, but guess what? I don't have it. He said the guy that did the ultrasound couldn't find one of your kidneys. Now, I have been living all my life believing that I had two kidneys. But I found out the other day I only have one slightly larger kidney. I said, what happened to the other one? I don't remember taking it out. There's no scars on my body. It's just not there. I said, is this very usual? He said, no, that's not very usual. So I don't know what it means, but maybe some of you computer Google people can find out that I'm in terrible shape, but I feel great. I felt great all my life thinking I've had two kidneys, but I've only had one. Now the point of the illustration is, it is possible to think you have something that you don't really have. It's possible for you to think that you're going to heaven when you die. It's possible for you to think, oh, I have the gift of God. Jesus died on the cross. But But to have the gift of God, it requires receiving Him as a choice in a moment of time. I bought Lisa a gift the other day, and I'll be giving it to her at Christmas. She will have to open the box. She'll have to take it out of the box. She'll have to make that gift hers. I have already bought it. I haven't wrapped it yet because we're taking it to Texas. But she will have to make a choice about whether she's going to receive it. Now, she's never given, she's always opened them in the past, so I think she'll open it this year. But the fact is, to get a gift, if I want to give this gift to Helena, there's nothing in it, Helena. But if I want to give this gift to you, I'd like to give this to you. She doesn't want it. I'd like to give this to you. Sure, yeah, there you go. She had to take it. Helena didn't want it. But Hannah took it. And you can think that you have the gift of God. Some people think they have the gift of God because they were born in a Christian family. You know, Patrick face-planted during one of those songs. You know, he was born into a Christian family. Patrick is not going to go to heaven because he's part of the Kennedy family. He's not going to go to heaven because he comes to church every week. There's going to have to be a moment in time when Patrick realizes that he's a sinner, realizes that he deserves to go to hell, and realizes that Jesus died for him, was buried and rose again. And he has to ask Jesus to come into his heart. He has to receive the gift. That's a choice that every human being has to make. You have to take the gift. You see, the Bible says in John chapter 1 and verse 12, it says, He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. Jesus came to the Jews, and they rejected Him. The masses rejected Him. Many individual Jews received Him, but as a whole, they rejected Him. So, He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. The next verse says, But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Is there a time in your life when you received the Son of God into your life? Your good works won't take you to heaven. Your Christian upbringing will not take you to heaven. Your sincerity or your kindness, it will not take you to heaven. Only the gift of God will take you to heaven. Have you ever received the gift of God? How do you receive this gift? Well, the Bible says in 1 John 5 and verse 11, this is the record that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. How do you receive the gift of God? Well, the book of Romans says these words, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. A person receives the gift of God by a personal faith. It says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. This morning, do you believe that Jesus died on the cross to pay for your sins? Do you believe He rose from the dead? Well, if you believe that, the Bible says, if you will confess Him, if you will accept Him, that this gift can become yours. The Bible says, there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. Whether you're from Africa, whether you're from Asia, whether you're from North America, the same God is rich unto all that call upon Him. And my favorite verse to explain how to be saved, Romans 10:13. whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We're in a desperate need. We're sinners. But there is a Savior. The whole purpose and the whole meaning of Christmas is Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. And if you'll ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior, He'll be your Savior this Christmas. Have you received the gift of God? Have you ever asked Christ into your heart? You can receive that gift today. If you've never received that gift before, will you receive that gift today? Remember I said at the beginning, I was 12 years old when I received the gift of God. When you picture your life, whether it began in 1940 or 1950 or 1960 or 1970, that's when I was born, or 1980 or 1990, if from the point of your birth till 2009, December 2009, where in your life, at what moment in time, did you receive the gift of God? If you don't know a moment in time when you receive Christ as your Savior, will you receive the gift of God today? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes this morning. With no one looking around, I cannot save you. This church cannot save you. But Jesus Christ can save you. He came into the world to save sinners. And if you'll ask Him to save you, He will save you. In this quiet moment, before the piano begins to play, if you would like to be saved, why don't you pray from your heart this prayer? Dear Jesus, thank you for loving me. I admit that I have sinned against you. Please forgive me. Please come into my heart right now and be my Savior. I am trusting only what you have done for me on the cross to save me. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Father, I pray this morning that there might have been one person or two people or three people that asked you to be their Savior. Lord, I'm so thankful that you never lie and that your word can be trusted. I'm so thankful that your word says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Father, please bless the remainder of this service in Jesus' name.